Hello, welcome to another episode of Guns and Yet Ribbons. My name is Fergus, I'm your host. It's been a disappointing weekend. We are going to look back at the Arsenal versus, I've got the wrong graphic. I've done that this morning, that's my haste. I've already cocked up straight away. We're going to look at the Arsenal Villa game. We got various people in various states around the world. Tune in shortly. It's going to be a classic.
Get ready for the world's greatest Arsenal podcast. Welcome to another podcast by Guns and Yellow Ribbons. Enjoy the show.
Hello, boys. Hello, boys. This is the graphic that should have come on at the very, very beginning. You'll see it in a second. It's that one. It's Arsenal 0, Aston Villa 2. I cocked it up. Trevor, some of us make mistakes and we just own our mistakes and we get on with them. Talk about yours.
I'll tell you what, Ferg. I wish that was the only mistake I've made today, mate. You know, I've got to hold my head up. Got nearly to the airport with the wrong passport in my pocket. So I'm on a later flight than was planned. But I can laugh about it now. Earlier I wanted to fight the whole of Gatwick Airport, but I've calmed down now. And I only want to fight you, Fred, because you're doing the editing, but that's all right.
That's fine. Listen, I know you're going to be pushed for time. We're going to introduce the guys, and then I just want to get your round review of the game yesterday. Dan, you're already in Munich. In the hotel, ready to go out in the Steins tonight?
I am. I'm riding solo because my partner in crime's just not turned up and I don't know what's happened to him, to be honest with you.
The partner is Ryan stuck in fucking Gatwick Airport, and he's sorry for that. Man, I'll message you. As soon as I land in Munich tonight, mate, I'll message you. Or I'll call you. I'll ring you.
I will still be out, Trevor. We found a lovely little beer hall that we're going to be going to. So I'll have your pint ready if you're ready.
Yeah, absolutely. And
the only person in their home is Del. Del, you're at home. I'm down in Poole Harbour. I'm in a caravan for a few days with the beautiful wife. And it's been really windy, but it's nice and sunny down here now.
Ferg, have they got a maintenance section down there where you're staying?
Why?
Because you might need one of them to change the light bulb.
It's just the way the light is, mate. I'll try. Let me open the curtain here. That might give a bit more light on the situation. There we go.
Actually, it was good before. Not being able to see your face wasn't too bad, in all honesty.
Dale, welcome to the show. Trev, I'm conscious of time with you. You sent us a long text because you didn't know if you were going to be here today. Rather than us reading it out, talk to us about feeling like this after the game.
Mate, let Dale say hello. It's not fair. I'm butted in there. I should have shut my mouth, but I couldn't.
Yeah, no, you're right, Trevor. Don't you worry. I'm more interested in your text now, mate.
Look, boys, to be honest with you, right, I didn't go to the game, as we all know, right, yesterday. When I saw that lineup come up, I thought, oh, my word, I didn't think we would go without Partey and Jorginho. It worried me greatly. It really did worry me greatly because I think we've played our best football with two of those three in the side, giving us the stability in the midfield. And then when I saw that Jesus was through the middle up front, as much as I've rated Jesus the last few weeks, I've rated him playing wide. I've not rated him playing through the middle. I've rated Abbott, who's looked amazing. So I was a bit surprised, but trust our manager. And in the first half, I thought he was proving me wrong because we were absolutely superb, weren't we? You know, we did everything but score a goal. And then, of course, second half, to sum it up for me quickly, then I'll just listen and let you lot talk. Second half, I thought Emery changed his tactics fantastically. And our manager, Arteta, was very slow to react to that. He did react in the end, but much, much too late in the day. And we got overrun. We just, second half, it was just a matter of when a goal was going to come from Villa. And that picture with Dan, honestly, in all seriousness, I felt so sorry for you, Dan, that sat down there, mate, because you know me, you know how I take it all to heart. There's a picture of me at City last year, isn't there? Very similar, you know. So you had every sympathy, mate. But if I do finally get you and it tonight, mate, we'll make up for it and have a couple of beers. But I thought that if any, I can't blame anybody because the team plays as they do, the manager does what he does. But if anyone's got to take a bit of blame, if you've got to force it anywhere, I thought Arteta got it a bit wrong yesterday, both before the game and after half time. So, yeah, that's about it for me. And in the end, we probably deserved to lose, didn't we? You know, on their second half show, and we weren't in it. Felt very sorry for. I thought Zinchenko wasn't very good at all. And although I know he plays inverted, the fact of the matter is, when they scored their first goal from our left, he was playing it right back. And I don't care what you normally do. If you're a left back, that's your prime. You should be there as one of the pressure. And the second goal, I've seen our young lad Smith Rowe get some grief for the second goal. And I feel really sorry for him because he was so isolated there against one of the best strikers in the country. And we let one in when we were chasing. So at the end of the day, upset, but we move on. It's all about following the Arsenal. And I'm going to shut up now and let you boys get on.
Brett, a question for you, Trev, to try and lighten the mood a bit. I've been on two European away days with you, and twice you've forgotten your power pack. Don't tell me you've forgotten it again, or have you got it?
Wait.
Hey!
It's on. Yeah. I needed it an awful day.
Yeah, so listen, guys, pre-match, if we look at the lineups on here, the lineup, I did put it up while Trevor was talking with Raya in goal, White, Saliba, Gabriel, there was a doubt over Gabriel beforehand, Zinchenko makes up the back line, then you had Rice, Odegaard, Trossard, Saka, Jesus and Havertz. Dan, it was an awful lot put on Rice's shoulders by not having Partey or Jorginho, didn't you think?
Yeah, but we've had that lineup many, many times this season, so... You know, let's not just sort of crucify the team and the manager because of a couple of changes. I think he needs to make changes when we're playing every 3 or 4 days. So I don't think I can blame him. I don't think he got it right, but at the same point, I don't think we can get on his back. And that those players that came in that played are more than capable of putting in a very, very good performance. So fact of the matter is we had 11 world-class players on the pitch and they didn't perform. And I don't think you can put that all down to tactics and the manager. And there's many, many aspects to the reason why they didn't perform as well yesterday. And let's not forget, I think the first half, we probably could have been one or two up. And it's a case of we needed to be clinical. It wasn't. We're also playing against a very, very good side in Aston Villa that's fourth place already, shooting for a Champions League place. And probably their strong points are being able to counter-attack into spaces. And we gave them that. And at the end of the day, they were clinical. They sucker-punched us at the end. And I think we've got to take it on the chin. But we've got to be able to pick ourselves up and say, we've been on a fantastic run as a team. We've lost no Premier League games until now in 2024. I think the only game we've lost in 24 was the FA Cup game and then obviously the first leg of the Champions League. So, to a degree, it's going to come. Now is the time to stand up and say, we're not going to go on a bad run. We're not going to start saying the title's gone, this is gone. We're not going to focus on that. One game at a time. Next game, pick it up, big performance, and show that we're the Arsenal. And we need to do that together as team, as manager, as coaching staff, and as fans. Not all this rubbish I've seen on social media this week. I know everyone's hurt. I know everyone's upset. It plays weird things with your emotions and it probably does things to you that it shouldn't do because at the end of the day, it's 22 men kicking the ball, but to us, it means a lot more. So let's try and take the emotion out of it and let's try and get back on where we were because there's still much to play for the rest of the season.
Yeah, looking at some of the positives, we went into that game 33 points out of a possible, 31 points out of a possible 33. We'd won 10 out of 11 games. We were all very hopeful because Liverpool had cocked up beforehand. The wheels were falling off at Anfield Road. We've had a great 2024. Let's try and hold some of this in some perspective. 2024 has been outstanding. we're not out of this race yet. There's still six games left. And with all the fixtures, Villa, who are a good side, they've still got to play Liverpool and they've still also got to play Man City. It's not over yet, is it, mate?
Of course it's not. It's never over. Whilst we've still got a mathematical chance and the football we've been playing all year, I've seen pundits and I've seen social media and all sorts of people saying Arsenal's title race is over. In fact, I think it's Betfair. They've paid out already on City winning the league. I was like, are you having a laugh? It's like, there's still plenty of twists and turns in the title race. And am I gutted about yesterday? Yeah, I'm devastated. But did we make mistakes? Yeah, of course we did. Was there questionable selections on the team selection? Yeah, of course there was. But it's one game. We've not lost since December. Before yesterday, we'd conceded four goals in the league all year. Yet people are still questioning what's going on, what's this, what's that. How about we just take a rewind back to, what, three, four seasons ago? Jesus Christ, we'd kill to be in this position. We're still mathematically in this. We're 2 points off City with a few games to go. Of course we can do it. Of course we can do it. It's far from over.
Trevor, you're on mute at the minute, mate. I just took you. What was your thoughts on starting Leandro Trossard rather than starting Martinelli?
Look, mate, I've just took myself off on it, by the way. Look, mate, I just said just now that I was surprised with a couple of choices. But I trust our manager, so I thought, OK, here we go. And up until half-time, I'm thinking, well, it's proved me wrong here. We're flying here. Absolutely flying. We've done everything this for. Martinez pulled off a weldy, which really turned his stomach, to be honest. And I thought, it's going to come out for the second half, and it's only a matter of time. I agree with what both of the lads just said. We've lost one game since Christmas. Got to be taken in context. I've seen a few things on social media today that have really upset me. If you want to have a go at the selection or a go at the odd player like I have done, that's fine. But going any further than that makes me feel sick to the bottom of my stomach. Because we are writing with a chance of still winning the league. We are writing with a chance of still winning the Champions League. And, you know, we're having a fantastic season. So this happens. The only thing that we got beaten by a very, very good manager in the United. Every Arsenal fan that knows anything about football has always said that Unai Emery was a fine manager, just didn't fit Arsenal at that time, right? And that hasn't changed. And he worked us out. And Unai Emery played us superbly, absolutely superbly. We can't moan about that. We can't change it. So we move on. We move on to all I'm thinking about is Munich now on Wednesday night. And then when Munich's over and I'm on my way back on Thursday, then I'll be thinking, right, let's go to Wolves and pick this league season up again. I agree with both the boys, absolutely 100%. It is not one bad game doesn't make a season. Yeah, one bad game means we've had a bad game in the middle. I'll tell you something that made me laugh today, though, boys. I even had a Sheffield United fan having a pop at me on social media saying, oi, where's your bottle gone, mate? I thought, hang on a minute. You lost your bottle at the first game of the season. You know what I mean? Give me a break, pal. Give me a break. I don't mind a bit of banter, but I ain't having that. But yeah, so we've had some grief today, but still remember that of all the other teams in the division, there's loads of sets of fans that wish they were in our position. The only set of fans that are happier than us are probably Man City. Yeah, but we're still right up there. Anything can happen. Anything can happen, boys. Sorry, I'm watching your departure
ball
while we're out.
No, I'm all right. Dan, looking at this first half, the first half hour, Trev, just go on mute, mate. Thank you. Looking at the first half hour, we didn't really threaten much. Well, any threat that we had, we just didn't really have any sting. 29 minutes in, Havertz had a break, but he just ran out of steam. And that sort of summed it up. Did we look a little bit leggy? Is the two games a week at the moment in the Champions League, which was a very difficult game. I know we made it more difficult for ourselves, but is that what cost us, do you think?
I don't think we were leggy. I think we looked nervous more than leggy, if I'm totally honest. I think that got to a few of the boys. And that's maybe where we could have done with the experience of someone like a Jorginho in the team. I think he's slowly becoming a really, really key figure for our side for that reason. But look, we've got to learn quick, and we are quick learners. So I'm expecting us to bounce back quickly. And who knows, look, that performance might give us the sort of kickstart again for the run-in, maybe even give us a big boost to the Champions League game, and it might help us in other ways. You know, football's a a weird and wonderful thing, but that performance, I think, hurt. I think it hurt a lot of people, but I've seen a narrative that people have been giving saying bottlers. That's not bottlers. That game doesn't mean we're bottlers. I mean, I'm sorry, if you think we're bottlers, I genuinely question your allegiance to our team and calling yourself a fan. There was a person that, funny enough, doesn't follow me now on Twitter anymore, but someone that I know in person that was a friend. I just said I've had enough of it, and he said he used the word bottlers, and I'm just not here for that rubbish, to be honest with you, because that's not what we are. The run we've gone on in the last 3 months is the run of champions. You know, that's the run that City goes on at that sort of time, and we've replicated that. We've had one bad game, but we're up against probably the toughest animal that the Premier League has ever seen, and probably any European league has ever seen in Man City. And I don't think that should reflect badly on us. You know, we could genuinely end up with like 89 points again and still not win the league. That shows what we're up against. And 89 points in a season is a phenomenal achievement for a young side that's still developing. So it's not all negative. It's gutting, and it's a bit down, because I know people didn't want to say it out loud, but I think a lot of people thought, oh, we're going to win the league this year. But it still isn't over, and we've got to do our job. But we've got to look at ourselves first before we start looking at City and other teams then.
We do indeed. Nearly 200 people are watching and on live view now at the moment. Quite a few on Twitter. We do ask you to go over to YouTube if you'd like what we do, and click on the subscribe button. Dale, a player that you mentioned in our WhatsApp group had a really good game, Ollie Watkins. Hit the post on 39 minutes, and then that save that Martinez made was a great one. And you know, he's definitely a threat, isn't he?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there's been talk of Watkins linked with Arsenal for years. I mean, you always obviously keep one eye on people linked with us at all times, because just in case, you never know what's going to happen in any transfer window. But it goes to show. I mean, he's got, I think there's one behind Haaland now with 18 or 19 goals. So yeah, give him a chance, he'll score. And 9 times out of 10 for me, we don't give him those chances. It was just a bad day at the office. I genuinely am not going to look too much into it. I'm really not. So I'm not going to focus too much on any negative players or any negativity around surrounding players or team selections. I genuinely think it was a bad day at the office. If we go and beat Bayern on Wednesday and then go away and get something at Wolves, this will all be forgotten. It really will. It's one bad game. I'm really not too fussed about the opposition or even how we played, to be fair. Yeah, there was some negatives. Of course there was. But we learn. We don't lose. We learn.
Dan, I don't question Arteta very often. I trust him, and I trust the process and everything else. But occasionally, I do question some of his tactics and the substitutions. And the lineup in this one was a bit unusual, as we said earlier on, leaving Rice as the lone man in the midfield. But I've got a video clip which I'll show later, which goes into Odegaard a little bit more. But you know, the substitutions that he made on 67 minutes, he brought on White and Trossard off for Tommy and Martinelli. Should Martinelli have started? Odegaard and Jesus, ESR and Jorginho. In the stadium, we were perplexed, weren't we?
Do you know what, Ferg? There's nothing wrong with questioning Arteta. There's nothing wrong with questioning players. It's how they are questioned. And there's no such thing in this world as perfection. No one makes the right choice every single time. And he's still a young manager and he's still learning, but you can only look at what he's done and where he's taken our team from and to. And the same with some of the players in that team. So people earn time and people earn maybe time to make mistakes. So if he has made a mistake, I think he's earned the right to have that. It's going to happen at some point. We all make mistakes. So I don't really want to get too much into questioning his decisions and his lineups and his tactics, because he's far in advance of any of us, and he's far in advance of, I think, many, many managers in that league. But unfortunately, no one's always going to agree with what he does. The substitutions are what they are. He's got a squad that he has to work with. I think if you really got an honest answer from him, is that the squad he would want to work with? No, I don't think it is. I think he's still got a few players he wants to bring into the team. But that is where we are. That's what we've got. And you've got to trust the squad. So people can moan all they like about Eddies and Nelsons and Smith Rowe's and whatever they want to say. We've got to trust them. They're still top level footballers, and we've got to use them. So no complaints really for me.
Trevor, conscious that you may have to dash off at any time. Billy Arneson says, "How's the beer?" You might want to explain that there's no beer in Gatwick Airport when you're waiting for a plane.
Billy boy, I'll talk to you about it on Wednesday, mate. It's a long story that I'm not going to go over again now, mate. But do you know what, Fav? I'm just sitting here thinking, listening to the boys. And it's obvious, right, that we all know that mistakes were made by players, selection, substitutions. But none of us appear to be really upset, do we? We're frustrated, we're annoyed because we're Arsenal fans. And our team's lost, so we're annoyed. We're not overly annoyed with what was done by our manager and our players and our substitutes, because we know it weren't quite right, but we know they're doing their best, and that we know that they go out there and try and win every week. The effort's always there. But I can't get off of this Havertz thing, right? Because Havertz, I've drooled over Havertz the last few weeks, drooled over him. And you mentioned it just now, Fergus. He had a chance in the first half where he was clear, but he ran from deep. He was just inside the opposition half, and he was running at goal, and he got caught up, and he got wiped out, and he didn't make any effort. Didn't get it on target, didn't get enough on goal. And at that moment, I thought to myself, that boy has just shown me that playing deep, playing maybe as a supporting role to Rice or a more forwards midfield player, isn't Havertz for me. It was the key thing I took from the game. Someone that's been playing magnificently and just wasn't in the right position for me. But as I said just now, we can't get angry, we can't get annoyed. Our team's lost once this year in the league. We're talking about it sensibly, and we'll find out what we thought was wrong. But at the end of the day, boys, I'm not angry with anybody. I think some people have done some things wrong, but I'm not angry with anyone, to be honest.
Dan, a good question in the chat, brought in by Cannon Father TV. Hello, mate. Good to see you. Was the turning point the Odegaard substitution? Do you feel that was the turning point?
Could be. Look, it's a good question. I don't think it's ever going to help us, put it that way, because Odegaard is a player that I think recently has been playing out of his skin. I think he's been running non-stop. He's been putting in captain's performances week in, week out. And the first half, he looked like he was just full of flair and ideas. And yeah, who knows? It could have been, when you lose your captain, it's not going to have a positive effect on you. But look, we, with or without Odegaard, we've got enough quality on there to be able to win games. I think, as we said, it was a bad day at the office. One thing I would say is we can all do better, and that's manager, players, fans, everyone. So we're all in it together.
We'll cover that point shortly, actually. We'll cover that point shortly. Yeah.
Trevor, I know you're going to call Dal in there, but I'm going to have to go in a couple of minutes, mate. But it's a really interesting point. This is really interesting conversation tonight. I thought it would be a difficult conversation to have this tonight, but it's not, because I think everybody's on the same wavelength. Everybody knows that we're better than that, and we had a bad day. But I honestly think that the Odegaard substitution, right, I honestly think that he maybe felt a little knock, and Arteta thought, Wednesday's coming up, it's not going to make any difference to this game, I'm having him off. I honestly think Odegaard was a tactical substitution. No doubt he was feeling something, but Arteta thought, he's off. I'm not risking this, no way.
Del, your thoughts? Was that the key? And was he saving him for Wednesday? Is Wednesday more important?
I think all points raised there are a possibility. Dan touched on Odegaard's work rate for the last few weeks. He's been absolutely superb. He could be the deepest player on that pitch, but he would still press that goalkeeper every single time. He puts in 110%. I would love to see that much energy from everyone else. Now, that's not slagging the rest of the team off at all, but I just think Odegaard's energy levels are one step ahead. And I'd love to see kind of that sort of energy from everybody. I don't think it's possible from everybody, but the reality is, boys, he really gives a shift in, so we did miss him. But Trev, over to
boys,
you, mate, if you've got to go.
Got to go, boys.
Safe journey, mate.
I'll ring you as soon as I land. I'll ring you later. Boys, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care. Got to go. See you later. Bye,
Trev. See you, Trev.
Make sure you get this
chat tomorrow.
Make sure you get this, mate.
I just think when someone's, sorry, go on, finish it off.
No,
I was just going to say, just to finish off, I think it's hard not to miss somebody like Odegaard when he goes off. With that much energy and that much work rate, you're always going to notice when he's not on the pitch.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let's put up what Arteta said to the cameras after the game.
Particularly taking off Martin Odegaard, who was a big influence on the game first half. You're thinking?
Yeah, because he had a little issue. That's why.
Okay.
So he clearly had a little issue, and that was one of the reasons. We'll go back to that in a few minutes because he is challenged on a few other things. Listen, the positives are, as we said before, that you know we've lost one game this season. We're still in the title race. We're 2 points behind City. City have got some tough games. Spurs could do us a favour. How would they feel if they beat City to hand the title to the Arsenal? That would be absolutely amazing, Dan, wouldn't it?
Oh, mate, I mean, don't even get me start dreaming on things like that. As I said earlier, I genuinely think we need to just focus on ourselves at the minute, take a step back and not think about titles, leagues, Champions Leagues. We just need to think about next game, bounce back, big performance, show that we've got a big set and show them we're the Arsenal. But I struggle to find positives in that game, I really do. Probably like one of the first or second maybe games this season where I sort of woke up next day and just felt really just down and gutted and just
Fulham game as well.
This one hit me hard in the Fulham game, to be honest with you. I just felt like this one just really, it felt like a sucker punch as a fan, but everyone deals with it differently, and I think we just need to a bit of perspective in life and let's go again and we've got a big, big game to come up in 2 days.
How important now? You've talked about being emotionally stable. You said that in midweek when you were behind in the game. How important now is emotional stability? There's going to be a lot of noise, City at the top now. How do you cut through that?
But we cannot control that. What we can control is when you have the run that we had and you win, and you draw, and you win, and you win. Easy to be a leader, easy to stand up, easy to stand here, easy to be around with the flow is now. The moment is now. After this blow, how we react, we have the best opportunity to react on Wednesday night against Bayern Munich. And now the team has to show it. And now we have to make sure that we react in the way that that if you want to win, you have to expect to overcome these situations.
Really interesting, and it's probably how we view it. We've been singing a song, Del and Dan, quite a lot away from home. Stadiums get empty everywhere we go. Didn't expect that to be the Emirates after 84 minutes when Villa scored. Fair weather fans, you know, I left my seat. I went up the back. I found somewhere quiet on my own. I saw Dan down the front. We all reflect and, you know, and we're all gutted. Walking out,
if I can just jump in very quickly, Del. I just feel like we've got to be really, really careful on this narrative here because I've been a person that said many, many times before about people leaving early and how it winds me up and it frustrates me. And my opinion doesn't change for me. A fan should be there
half six on a Sunday.
Well, look, as a fan, for me, you should be there when we're not winning. That's when we need you loudest, that's when you have the biggest impact on the team. The only thing I'm just starting to learn a little bit more is people's emotions and everyone reacts a little bit differently. And look, who says leaving before the end and getting home early is the wrong choice when, look, I would probably say me staying that late and then, you know, the walk down towards the Chinese afterwards is not the right way to react. And generally, maybe the right decision there would have been just to leave early and go home. I didn't, but everyone's very, very different. So I don't believe there are that many fair weather fans. There are many fans that follow our team home and away all over Europe as well. Everyone gets upset. It hurts people more than it should. There are some people that go there for the day trip and that want to buy everything from the club shop and then in and out and who really cares. Fine, let them do it. But all I would say is let's try and encourage people to stay later, to be seen to the death and to support those players because they need it, and I honestly believe they deserve it.
I agree. And I just think, so to throw it out there, right, I've been one of those fans who's left early before because of training commitments, et cetera, et cetera. Now, it wasn't that on Sunday because obviously it wasn't that late, but the people do look at things such as the time in the game on a Sunday, work the next day, et cetera, et cetera. I get that. I think the key thing Dan said there is that people do react differently emotionally. It's like you can see it on social media. Just literally, if you just scroll through social media, look at 20, 30 different posts, everyone's talking about the same thing. We all watch the same game, yet everyone's got different views on it. I don't think someone leaving 10 minutes early, or if they've got their reasons to, let's say 5 minutes. If someone stays 5 minutes early or someone leaves or stays 5 minutes later, I wouldn't say one's a better fan than the other one. They've clearly got their reasons for doing what they've got to do. I mean, I'd love to sit behind for 10 minutes at the end of the game and even have a beer, but I can't always do that. So I don't necessarily criticise people. I think the ballots probably had some sort of impact on it. I wouldn't fully blame the ballot, though. But I do think the time of games, such as Sunday, people aren't going to be getting home until 8:30, 9, 10, depending on where you live. So I think that has something to do with it as well.
I would just say that staying there at the end for a little bit longer doesn't make you a real fan at the end of the day. There are many people that haven't done that are real fans. So just wouldn't want to spread the narrative that makes you a real fan because it doesn't. There are many, many other aspects of people that do.
And that's not the narrative I was trying to say. I was just trying to say probably more like on the lines of what you said, which is getting behind the team and supporting the team. It just did feel a little bit that when the chips were down, there was people just walking out. And, you know, if this was a 10 o'clock at night kickoff and people have got the last train back to, you know, Lincolnshire or Scotland or flight or whatever, like the Porto game, people stayed extra time and penalties. There was very few people that left. You know, why can't you stay when the chips are down? That's when we do it.
Maybe I'm fighting my own narrative a little bit there, Fer, because to be honest with you, I do agree with you. And that, for me, is how I see the role of a fan. But look, there's such thing as the fight or flight reaction to things that go against you, right? Some people would want to stay there and sing and shout. Some people just want to get out because they can't deal with it. And yeah, who says what reaction is right or wrong?
Hilsey is pleased that we got Jamie O'Hara in to step in for him. Anybody who's wondering where the good-looking old geezer has gone, he's talking about himself. He's getting on a flight to Munich via Gatwick. He was in Stansted this morning. It was hilarious. Not really, but you know. Let's watch the end of this Arteta video, and then we'll talk about.
It was quite funny, to be honest, just don't tell him that.
Now he's not here. Yeah, he can.
You as well, big voices, leaders. Like you say, when you're winning and winning and winning, that's one thing.
It was going to happen at some stage. With the games that we have, it was going to happen. Now how we react to that, that's going to be the key.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first time you blinked since New Year's Eve, really. Is there a danger it becomes bigger in the players' heads than it actually is? You start thinking about last year and what's happened in the past.
But what you can control is how you're going to feel now, the way you talk now, the way you react and the way you look ahead of what is happening on Wednesday. And this is in our control.
It never feels good to be behind Man City. They've got obviously a great record of finishing things off. Is that another thing to shut out?
Yeah, but we cannot control that.
Still possible.
With the amount of games that you have won in a row in any other league in the world, you are 6 or 8 points clear. It's not the case now, and this is the challenge.
He's right, though. On that run, any other league, like you look at the Bundesliga was won by Granite Xhaka. No, sorry, by Bayer Leverkusen. It depends on which media channel you watch. And it is the media churning out that narrative that they want to come along and say, Del, like, you know, oh, we've bottled it and we've touched on it earlier on. It's poor. It's really poor and cheap journalism, isn't it?
It's what opposition fans want to see, though, right? Everyone loves taking a dig at us, and that's exactly why they do it. I mean, it comes from our own fan base, right? And people jump on that as well. People jump on the bandwagon of Arsenal. Look at Arsenal Fan TV, right? Don't like them in the airtime, but they started all this. They started all, and people just snowballed and snowballed and snowballed. Arteta's bang on. And it's any other league, you're 15 points clear. And Dan said it earlier, you're against probably the best team this Premier League has seen, the best team in European football. We're talking about a team here. Let's be honest, right? In theory, they could do back-to-back trebles. In the Premier League, the hardest league of them all, in European football, it's unheard of. But they're in a position where they can do it. And their fans will be thinking they can do it because they've just seen us lose. It's up to us now to not focus on what other people are doing, but to focus on what we're doing. Now, there's a video going around, which I want to kind of briefly touch on, right? It was, and I get it. It was right next to where we were in block five, right? There was a video, Arsenal fans cheering the Liverpool result. Nothing wrong with it at all. Of course you're going to cheer them. But before posting on social media, wait till we've got our win, right? That's the only thing I'd say there. Because yes, we did look a bit silly then. But at the time, it was absolutely the right thing to do. If your opposition, with seven games the season to go, drops points, the ones you're in a title race with, absolutely we should celebrate that. Of course we should. But we've got to make sure we get the job done ourselves first. So going forward, let's not focus on exactly what Arteta said. You can't control anything else. Let's focus. What we can control is what we do and how we react, not just as a team, but as fans as well.
Unai Emery is the fourth manager to be asked.
Do you agree with that, Ferg?
With which? Sorry, I was reading my next line.
The video.
That we should still be able to maybe cheer at that point, Liverpool dropping points.
Well, we've done it in block five. I know we were well-oiled and everything else, but we were cheering that, you know, Klopp's under pressure and Klopp's feeling the pressure. That's football banter, isn't that? What you do? I get your point, Dale, and I know you like the last word. Haha, in joke. Yes and no. I get both points. There's part of me that thinks like, you know, we should keep our powder dry, and then there's also part of me that you revel in the downfall of somebody, you know, failing. And if City lose to who are they playing next? Well, we can go 4 points clear of City by the time they play next because if they've got FA Cup games and so on. So we can go. We just need to make sure that Chan just said you were more than well oiled. Yeah, well oiled. We're a machine, Chan. We're a machine. As I said, Emery is the fourth manager only to beat Arsenal, do the double over Arsenal. So, and Arteta, he'd done the 1-0 at Villa Park, and he's also done us here. Done really, really well. But more over than that, let's look to where you are right now, Dan. Munich on Wednesday. We go in. I know it's 2-2, but it's a cup final. It's a one hit, and we go for it. Everyone's even. Everyone's level. Let's go. What's your expectations? What lineup are you doing? Are you putting Jorginho in? Are you putting Partey in? How are you changing it up?
You're spot on. It's a cup final, and it's a cup final that we should all be up for, and we should all be expectant that we can win because we still have a fantastic away record that, for me, I'm not going to lie, is a surprise. Not a surprise because of how good we are as a team, but a surprise given in recent years what we've seen with Arsenal away from home. So, you know, we've gone in a matter of maybe 5 or 6 years from a team that couldn't even win away to a team that just doesn't give up chances and goals away from home. So a very, very different side. And we can go to places now like Bayern and we can get a result when we can win and go through. And I almost feel like we're a little bit more better suited to be playing away from home, where we can be quite tight. We do have pace on the counter. We do have players that are deadly. We just need to now show it. And I think maybe starting up top, we've got a guy in Kai Havertz that can bring people into play, can hold the ball up, that is a presence. And I'd be surprised if he doesn't start up top. And I think that means then hopefully Fodegaard's fit with Jorginho and Rice in behind. I think Jorginho has been key. His experience, he's not been exposed as I thought he would be in that midfield role when sometimes maybe he hasn't got the legs. So he's stepped up in my opinion. His leadership, I think, on the pitch is huge. And I think his ability on the ball to keep things simple, to keep and retain the ball is very key. I'm hoping Martinelli can put a performance in because I think Martinelli needs to start. For me, Trossard has a big impact off the bench, but doesn't seem to do it when he starts. So hopefully Martinelli and Saka on each wing. And for me, the back five pretty much picks itself. Reyes never going to not start. Ben White, Saliba, Gabriel are nailed on. And then I think after Kiwior's performance in the first leg and Zinchenko's last couple of performances, I think Tomiyasu has to start. I think he has to be given an opportunity, and he's done it before up against Mo Salah for Liverpool when he's played left back to cover him. So we've got the players that can come in and be tight. They're also going to have a couple of injuries in the Bayern team. I think Gnabry's out, and I think Koeman went off as well in the last game. So that was where they hurt us a little bit in the first leg. And I'm hoping that's a good omen. That means we'll be able to deal with them. And we just need to be clinical, both ends of the pitch.
And I believe Davis is out with a suspension as well. And that's key because he really controlled Saka in that first leg. Dale, Harry Kane, he hasn't won the Bundesliga. He hasn't won their equivalent of the FA Cup and the Super Cup. Are we going to stop Harry Kane in the Champions League Cup run?
I look at it a slightly different way. There's a lot of people talking about Harry Kane this, Harry Kane that. It's not about Harry Kane. It's about Arsenal. It's about the Arsenal doing what the Arsenal do. I don't care if they've got Harry Kane up front. I don't care if they've got Ian Rush up front. It doesn't make a difference to me. Yes, it'd be nice. But the reality is, I don't want to make this about Harry Kane and Arsenal. There was a big thing about, will Harry Kane score at the Emirates? It shouldn't make a difference if Harry Kane scored at the Emirates or not. It really shouldn't. But I think, again, there's a media kind of agenda kind of trying to force these stories upon us. I really don't care about Harry Kane. He could score a hat-trick if all I care, as long as we score four. I really don't care what happens with Harry Kane. So for me, again, I'm going to take the focus away from Harry Kane and bring it back to us. We do what we do. It's irrelevant what Harry Kane does.
Okay. On that note, since you said, is that your prediction then? 4-3 to the Arsenal?
No, I'll take it. I don't think my nerves would, but I could take it. As far as a prediction goes, I'm going to replicate the score of 2013. I'm going to go for a 2-0 Arsenal win. I think we're a lot tighter away from home. I think we've learned a lot of lessons from the weekend with leaving Rice on his own in the middle like that. I do think Jorginho will play a massive part. I saw a comment in the chat saying, can Tommy be trusted? Is he fit to start? I think the answer to the can he be trusted is a no-brainer. Yes, he is. Is he fit to start? He came on and he played a big part of the weekend. So, yeah, I'd say, of course, he's fit to start. So, for me, I'd put Tommy in at left back. I think a bit too soon for Partey. Jorginho, for me, 100%. And I'd love to see a front three of Nelly on the left, Saka, and Kai Havertz through the middle.
Dan, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, same team that I just said. So, to be honest, I agree with you there, Dale. I don't think there's any worry for me in Tommy playing. Look, if the player's fit, then I've got no worries if he gets selected. I don't believe that Arteta will ever pick a player that's not fit. So, no worries for me if he starts.
Hensie, all I'd say is...
No, I'm going to. I'm having the last word on this one.
Yeah. Henty.
Yeah, there we go. Henty, time to change history. We're going to win this one. I'm going for 2-1. Dan, did you give a prediction of score?
No, I didn't actually. I'm going to go for... I've got a feeling it's going to be 1-1 and we win on penalties and then we celebrate like mad. I'm going to be stressed as hell, but then I'm going to celebrate with some massive steins afterwards.
I'm on a caravan park down in Poole, and I've done a scope out of the sports bar that's in there, and it ain't the best place to be watching a penalty shootout, Dan. So, like, you know, I might have to hotspot on my phone again and probably watch it on my laptop. But yeah, I'm going to go for 2-1 to the Arsenal. We've got some other people giving theirs in the chat. You got Barry on 3-2 to Arsenal. He's gone 2-0 to the Arsenal. Hilsey has gone 4-1. We'll see, Trev. Yeah, if it's 4-1, all the beers are definitely on Trev.
Guys, if I'm you're conscious watching, that... mate, don't just forget your passport. Like, remember that, but also remember your match ticket, mate, because I want you to get all the way out of here and not have your PDF.
We've got Chan, who's gone 1-0. Spencer, 1-0 Arsenal. Oh, thank God. We got Spencer, who's gone... 3-1 to the Arsenal, and Gary, who's gone 2-1. Listen, I'm on holidays. You're in Munich. You've probably got kids to feed or a wife to tell to feed the kids or something like that, Dale. So I think we'll do our usual thing, play that song, and we'll let Dan get out and scope out the steins and the shisha bars. And I'm sure lovely
places for...
I'm sure your drunk Turkish will work in Munich. You know that because there's loads of Turkish in Germany.
I found a lot of Turkish kebab places as well. So yeah, I might be spot on with the old Turkish over here.
Just a quick note to those flying out. Obviously, I know some of you like Dan are out there already, but safe journey to those of you who are going out, and fair play to you all as well. And loud and proud, expect nothing less. fair play, guys.
...366 people watching live, quite a lot on Twitter, as we said before. Do take a moment to go across to YouTube, go to Guns and Yellow Ribbons on YouTube, click the like and subscribe. We do this for fun. We're genuine fans. We're not here to, here for clicks or to be famous. But if you like what we do and, you genuinely want to support us, the best way you can do is support us by going to YouTube and help us build up that 1,200 or so followers that we have on there, subscribers we have on there. Plus, you'll get notified of when our podcasts are coming up. We normally do a Monday night one, that like we've done tonight, and Thursday, but I can't take two nights out of the holiday with the wife. So we're going to be moving the preview week one this week to Friday night. So we will speak to everybody Friday. Dan, have a really safe trip out there. Sing up for the Arsenal. I'm very, very jealous, but I'm also very happy where I am. But it would be if it goes to that penalty shootout in the extra time, I'm probably best off not out there, honestly, because I'd be in a mess.
It's fine, Fergus. We can all see that thumbprint on your forehead, mate. It's not a problem.
Hang on a second. They're saying I'm under the thumb. Apparently, I'm under the thumb. That's right.
Under the thumb. I've never seen a man in my life as much under the thumb as you, mate.
Yeah, it's called. Yeah, it's called being married, mate. You should try it.
It's that thumbprint, Ferg, that's maybe made your head a bit bigger, so the hat didn't fit on your head during the week.
It didn't fit. No, it was a chart. It was.
No one can tame Dan. No one can tame Dan, and we'll put up with the amount of travelling he does.
Yeah, no, he would be a caged tiger, wouldn't he?
No comment.
Well, they're orange as well, aren't they? Right, we're done. 372 of you. Get over to YouTube. Some of us like and subscribe. Thanks very much. Chat to you Friday. Up the Arsenal, fuck the Spurs and Munich.
Thanks for listening to Guns and Yellow Ribbons, an Arsenal podcast by Arsenal fans for Arsenal fans. Follow us on Facebook at Guns and Yellow Ribbons or Twitter at Guns and Ribbons. And remember to rate and review us too. Up the Arsenal.